Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Lisa Tabari, and I am one of the defendants. If it pleases the Court, I would like to try to reserve 2 minutes at the end for rebuttal, if possible. And in an effort...
Look at the clock, the numbers in front of you.
Okay.
Whatever you've got left over when you sit down is yours.
Okay, thank you. In an effort to maximize my time, I understand that we only have 10 minutes. I'm going to try to read off what I prepared. That is approximately 4 minutes, and then leave the rest for any questions that you guys may have. So thank you for being patient with me. I apologize.
It's quite okay. Just relax.
Thank you. First, we feel what renders this case so unique and ultimately determines that confusion was not likely is the mere fact that Fast Imports does not sell Lexus vehicles or compete with Toyota Motor Sales. In fact, Fast Imports advertises on behalf of Toyota Motor Sales, refers the consumer to the franchise Lexus dealer, and then receives an advertising fee from them for that referral. The advertising is truthful. The services are complimentary. The consumer should not be confused, and ultimately both the consumer and Toyota benefit from Fast Imports' fair use of the domain name buyerleaselexus.com. Second, it's my understanding that the Supreme Court case in KP Permanent Makeup versus Lasting Impressions was clearly against the notion that a fair use defense shifts the burden onto the defendant of proving no likelihood of confusion. They held that the statutory language regarding fair use was clear, and there was no fourth element that says a court must also find a lack of likelihood of confusion. The foundation of trademark infringement and unfair competition being consumer protection, and the question whether or not the consumer is harmed by Fast Imports' use of the domain name, appears that the question is the likelihood of confusion and the burden solely on the plaintiff, then it looks like we have to look at the sleep craft factors to make that determination. However, I think that that is where the confusion lies and possibly the controversy begins, is how does one appropriately weigh the sleep craft factors in a case asserting a nominative fair use? The Third Circuit...
I thought you said that the sleep craft factors don't apply in nominative fair use cases. I mean, do you concede? Do you really want to concede that sleek craft applies? Excuse me. Hold the clock. Do we know what that noise was? Well, let's hope it doesn't come back. If it comes back, stop the clock and let's call somebody. I thought it was your position. I would have thought it was your position that the sleek craft factors don't apply. Because we settle in Cairns, our case by the name of Cairns, C-A-R-N-S.
Mm-hmm.
We said, what did we say in Cairns? Let me see. This is on page 292, Fed 3rd, at page 1150. It seems to say that the sleek craft factors don't apply, doesn't it? This is on the right-hand side. Contrast the sleek craft factors in a nominative fair use case. So do you really have to deal with sleek craft?
Well, if you look at the Third Circuit case, the Century 21 case versus Lending Tree, they stated in the context of nominative fair use of a mark that certain sleek craft factors are either unworkable or not suited as indicators of confusion, and if applied mechanically would inevitably point towards a likelihood of confusion where no likelihood of confusion may existed. And that's where we feel that the district court erred. They focused on, or she focused on, the Internet Trinity and the skewed sleek craft factors in favor of Toyota. And again, when they address their lap factors, being the strength of the mark, the proximity of the goods, the likelihood of expansion, in the Century 21 case, they felt that those factors were irrelevant or had no bearing in a nominative fair use case. What the court did look at was the remaining factors that weigh against a likelihood of confusion, which were the evidence of actual confusion, the types of good and the degree of care likely to be exercised by the consumer, and the defendant's intent. And all three of those factors weighed in our favor in this case, Your Honors.
But you have a district court finding of confusion, right?
I'm sorry?
You have a district court finding of likelihood of confusion.
Based upon the initial interest.
No, just.
Sorry.
We agreed on that. You have a finding by the district court, there's a likelihood of confusion.
Correct.
And your argument is that the district court is just wrong on that as a matter of fact, or that the district court applied the wrong legal analysis, or?
Applying the wrong legal analysis.
Okay. And what should analysis should the district court have applied, in your view?
And, well, in KP Permanent Makeup, the Supreme Court felt that the Ninth Circuit's view of fair use might have been contrary to the plain meaning of the statute, stating that those that say there cannot be a fair use if there's a confusing use does not give the words good faith their ordinary meaning, stating that good faith is a mental state and the concept of good faith entails the possibility of a potentially undesirable result that is excusable. And the court held that the good faith element refers to the intent of the actor as opposed to the effect, and asked the Ninth Circuit Court to distinguish between intent and effect, since it felt that by focusing on the effect, it ignored the plain meaning of good faith and, in essence, negated the defense. Honestly, Your Honors, what we're looking at here is we went into this brokering business in good faith. We worked closely with many of the franchise Lexus dealers. We received web hosting services from Toyota's agent, the Cobalt Group. Toyota, their franchise Lexus dealers, the consumers, Fast Imports, we all benefited from the use of the domain name buyerleaselexus.com, and we're just here to ask, we don't understand where the harm is. If we're looking at confusion of the consumer, and we're looking at the consumer being harmed by this, we're unsure where the confusion and the harm lies.
Do you want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
If I could, thank you.
Okay. We've got 3 minutes and 21 seconds for rebuttal. We'll hear from opposing counsel.
Good morning, Your Honor. Jens Kepke, Granis Martin, appearing for Capelli. I think that first we have to remember that a domain name, which is what we have involved here, is a source identifier.
If you're in the nominative fair use field, which is where we are, by definition, you have to use the domain identifier. New Kids, Cairns, Beanie Babies, it's all, by definition, you can't get away from it. We said that the sleek craft analysis doesn't apply. District Court applies sleek craft. Why isn't that simply an error of law and requiring reversal?
I think, first of all, in Cairns, we didn't have a domain name usage.
So what? We said sleek craft doesn't apply. In New Kids, we said you can use the trademark. How else are these folks going to tell the public that they're in the business of providing sales and lease services for Toyotas? For Lexuses.
Well, like any other business, you develop brand recognition around the business.
Well, that would have been the answer in Volkswagen as well. It would have been the answer in Chanel. What is the Chanel case? You know it. You know the case I'm talking about, involving Chanel number 5.
Well, for example, in Volkswagen, I don't want to interrupt, Your Honor, but if in Volkswagen, again, you had an example of a case that is pre-internet, that goes back to the 1960s, where
Smith versus Chanel Inc.
Okay. In Volkswagen, you had a situation where you're talking about pre-internet, where the risk of initial interest confusion is a completely different ballgame. And the other thing about Volkswagen, which is very importantly different from this case, is that in Volkswagen you had a user that went to great efforts to make it clear that they were independent, disaffiliated from the mark user.
I don't know what you can do any more than say what they say here, which is we are not an authorized Lexus dealer or affiliated in any way with Lexus. So as soon as you go to the web page, the first thing you see, the first thing your eyes fall on is this disclaimer. We are an independent auto broker.
Two things, Your Honor. One, that happens after you've already gone to the website. So the whole idea behind initial interest confusion in the domain area,
you haven't bought anything by going to the website. Going to the website is when you start shopping. And the first thing you follow before you spend any money, before you do anything at all, any interacting with them, you go to the website and they say, we are not Lexus. If you're interested in dealing directly with, officially with Lexus, go somewhere else. Go away.
First of all, number one, the idea behind initial interest, domain name, confusion is that initial misdirection. The Brookfield case said the same thing. And that initial misdirection says that you have hijacked someone else's mark. We don't know what the next click of a consumer is.
Well, how exactly do you apply nominative use to a domain name in your judgment? What if it says, we are not Lexus.com?
Well, that would be a very different situation. If you have a domain name
You don't think I know that this is a very different situation? And how does that different situation come out?
The reason it's different is because...
I realize it's different. You don't have to persuade me it's different.
Okay.
I have posed a hypothetical understanding that it's different.
Okay,
do you understand that? Are we on the same page?
We're on the same page.
And how is a different case decided under in your universe?
What's different is...
No, I don't want you to tell me what's different about it. I want you to tell me how it is decided. You can answer the question, or you can say, I refuse to answer, and move to something else, okay?
It will likely...
Do one of those two things.
It will likely be found either likely to found that there is no likelihood of confusion, or that there is a nominative fair use.
And why that one and not this one?
Because on its face, and again, we don't have to draw the line here today, but on its face, there's a good chance that there's a disaffiliation in that domain name from...
But they're not selling... Your client doesn't sell websites. Your client sells cars.
Exactly.
They don't sell websites. They sell cars.
And the website is buyorlease-a-lexus.com. And what we do is we sell Lexuses and we lease Lexuses. And we finance Lexuses. So to any normal consumer, it's very possible there's confusion there. And so that is an example of initial interest.
So in your view, anything that suggests that they are in the business of brokering sales and leases of a trademark product simply can't be in a website. That's an absolute rule as far as you're concerned.
And in particular, if you add in the fact
that... No, I'm asking you. Is that your position?
You have to take this case on its face, Your Honor. And this case also includes evidence
why are you so difficult about answering the questions I ask you?
I'm not trying to evade your answers.
But
your
I think
question,
you looks to me like you are.
Okay.
Okay, I asked the question, and you want to tell me why the answer is not relevant or it doesn't matter. How about we just have this understand? I ask a question, you answer the question.
Fine.
Can we have that agreement?
Absolutely.
Okay. So in your view, does any website that tells people that they are in the business of selling or leasing a trademark product and uses the trademark in the website name, that is per se not nominative fair use?
Yes, it enters the danger zone. We have to look at the three factors, wouldn't we, of the nominative fair use to just make that decision finally.
The district court didn't here.
The district court looked at all three. Yes, the district court did look at all three of the nominative use.
Show me where. I thought the district court applied Sleekcraft.
No, it also looked at nominative fair use. In the findings, Your Honor, let me... apologize for the delay. The findings, it's 234, ER 234.
What page of the district court's order?
28. Starts at 28 through 32. And the court looked at all of the elements of Your Honor's new kids.
I'm sorry, where is that? Where did the district court actually apply those factors?
On page 29, defendants rely on the nominative fair use defense. The following elements. It describes the elements. They have not met their burden of establishing this defense on page 30. They have not shown that their automobile brokerage business cannot be readily identified without using the mark Lexus. And it goes on. So the district court looked at this and, in fact, made findings that that the defendant had not carried its burden of showing that the nominative use factors were met here.
We review this de novo, right?
Huh?
We review application of the fair use defense de novo, right?
You do. And I can tell you why I think the district court was correct, Your Honor, in applying those factors. They could have identified their business and conducted their business without using the Lexus mark in the way they did, which not only included the domain name, but also using the fonts on the website, using
But it's no longer there, right? By the time of trial, they changed the font and they changed, there are no logos.
It's not, the record's unclear about whether that happened by the time it was tried, Your Honor, but for most of the years of the business and most of the years of the sales for Fast Imports, there was no disclaimer and the fonts were still on the website. So, and secondly,
I'm sorry, when you say it's unclear, there is a version of the website in the record that shows the disclaimer and doesn't use any fonts at all, as best I can say.
Exactly, and it's undated, Your Honor. It's the defendant's exhibit, it's undated. Well, the evidence, they said the only evidence in the record is that they made some changes to the website in July 2005. And at least...
4 years ago.
Yes. But this case, the lawsuit was filed in 2003, Your Honor, and it was tried in 2006. So
when you say it's unclear, in answer to my question, by the time of trial, you really weren't entirely forthright.
By most of the business that had...
No, but I asked you by the time of trial, you said it's unclear, but now you're telling me that by the time of trial, a year before trial, they did change it. So you must have misspoken.
It was tried in 2005, Your Honor, in August 2005.
And this was changed in July.
We don't know exactly, Your Honor.
By the July, you got...
The July, you have testimony that some changes were made. It's really unclear. I'm sorry. I wish I could clear up the record, but it's not clear in the record.
Well, what I heard you say is that this version of the website that appears with a disclaimer, that they provided you this in July 2005.
This was an exhibit that was put in a trial in August. So we don't know when it was printed. Presumably...
It presumably was not printed after August.
I agree.
They probably don't have future technology like that.
Yes, I understand, Your Honor. So, and if we look at the second element, did they use more than was necessary? And the answer is yes.
How is that possible?
How is that possible?
If they want to communicate the fact that they're brokering Lexus cars, when they use simply the word Lexus in their domain name, what less can they use?
Well, for number one, they don't have to use Lexus in their domain name.
Well, they didn't have to use New Kids in the survey. New Kids. They didn't have to use Chanel number 5 in the Chanel number 5 case. They didn't have to use Volkswagen. They could just say weird German cars. There's only that many German car manufacturers, right? There are all sorts of ways of describing things in all those cases. In all those cases, we held that they were entitled to actually use the mark.
And none of those were domain name cases. And so, in a domain name situation where the theory is initial interest confusion, the courts have been very clear. And the Picard case says you really can't have a fair use in a domain name situation.
I'm sorry, explain this to me. You're driving down the street and you see a sign saying we fix Volkswagens. How is that not initial interest confusion? If you don't see that, you don't turn in. you have to go in and find out they're not an actual dealer. So how is this different from Volkswagen?
Because that sign said independent, unaffiliated, had independent Volkswagen repair service. So, yes, the initial interest, the initial impact is, well, this is an independent entity. And we don't have that here. We have the opposite. We don't have attempts to positively disassociate ourselves from Lexus. We have attempts to essentially associate ourselves with Lexus. That's the difference. And it's an important difference. And it's even worse.
The injunction in this case precludes them from using Lexus in any domain name whatsoever. Even if they call it independentlexusbroker.com would be prohibited by the injunction. Is that right? Or we are not affiliated with Lexus in any way whatsoever.com would also be covered by the injunction. I'm asking a question about what you think the injunction provides. So tell me.
The injunction bans the use of...
Did you hear my question?
I did.
Is it capable of a yes or no answer?
It would likely ban that usage, yes.
Okay. So it's too broad, isn't it, even by what you've admitted to me today? Because you, according to what you've said, is that they said we are not affiliated with Lexus, that would be fair use. That's what I heard you say. I can play back the tape. So you have to concede the injunction is at the very least too broad.
You know, I don't have the injunction in my mind to know whether it's also said whether... But I don't know.
That's okay. Go to the injunction. We'll give you a little more time.
Okay.
I guess I want to ask you one question before you sit down, which you might look at as well. I was interested by a question you answered to Judge Kuczynski, which is, it was my understanding that we had a district court trial here.
Yes.
It was my understanding that after the district court trial, the district court fashioned its findings of fact, conclusions of law, after that trial.
Yes.
And we're talking about fair use and how the district court found or did not find fair use. And I understood that you answered his question that fair use would be a de novo review after that trial.
Again, this court has spoken directly about copyright law in terms of de novo review and trademark. It has not spoken completely clearly about what the standard review is in trademark fair use arena, but we assume that it would probably be the same in trademark.
Which is de novo, right?
Which is de novo.
Now, let me just, you have the district court's order there, page 35.
Yes.
I found it. So it's at the bottom. It's lines 23 through 28. You have to admit, do you not, that this is too broad, that this would cover even we are not Lexus in any way whatsoever.com. We are disassociate ourselves from Lexus.com. Lexus is not us.com. All of those things will be barred by the district court's injunction. As it is written there, it's now happening in front of you in black and white. Right?
I think that's correct.
And
clearly, that's not the website they were using, Your Honor. We can agree on that. That's not the website that we're deciding about today. We are not Lexus.
Why are you saying this? You think those are their website?
No.
Think I'm that confused about
the case holds? Not at all.
Okay. Are you trying to avoid my question?
I would love to answer.
I'm going to ask it one more time.
Okay.
And you can answer it or not. If you don't want to answer, just sit down. I won't hold it against you. I might hold it against your client, but you'll be okay with me. Any of the things I've given you, we are not Lexus.com and the like, would be covered by the injunction and prohibited. Yes or no?
Yes, they would.
And that's too broad, is it not?
If one assumes that those...
No, according to position according to the position you've taken today... Nice. According to what you have said today about initial interest confusion, about the Volkswagen case and the things you specifically said about domain names, this is overbroad, is it not? Is it or is it not? Yes or no? It's capable of an answer, yes or no. I can let – you can then explain to me your answer. I'll give you a minute and a half to do that. But just start with a yes or no.
It likely is, Your Honor. It would depend on precisely what website, domain name that you're talking about.
I told you the ones I'm talking about. We are not Lexis.com. That would be overbroad. The injunction covers it. It's not allowed to, even by your own concession. So at the very least, we have to reverse, vacate the injunction, and at the very least, order a narrow injunction. Is it not the case?
Probably, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And I have one further question. If, in fact, our case law suggests that the Sleekcraft factors are not something that the district court should have used in this particular case, and they did, how can I not suggest that that is an abuse?
I'm not sure that – I guess I'm not – I don't agree that the Sleekcraft factors don't apply here.
Why?
Read Cairns. You got Cairns in front of you?
I was going to say, read that.
Oh, well, let me give you my copy. Here, come here.
I mean, my worry is –
I'm serious. Come here. I'll be ready to talk to Judge Smith. Judge Cairns, take my book. You know, I'm willing to bet you know what Cairns says by heart, but go ahead. It's a little surprising that a lawyer doesn't know a key case like that. But anyway, Judge Smith was asking a question.
I mean, that is the question that was truthfully on my mind when I walked in here, because I have a standard of review. I have a bench trial. I'm liable to give an old district judge a lot of room on a bench trial, me having been one. And now he applies factors.
Me too.
I think he got three up here. I think he applies factors which that case says he shouldn't have applied. So I'm trying to figure out, now I saw fair use in there, but I'm trying to figure out if in fact he applied the wrong standard in making his determination, why that's not an abuse. That's my real worry here, because otherwise I can give the district judge a lot of territory.
I think two things. One, again, we don't have a domain name situation. And I think there is an important distinction there, because the initial interest confusion context means that you need to first make the determination about whether there is a likelihood of confusion, and then you can determine whether or not there's nominative fair use. I see that there's a distinction between the domain name situation and the CAN situation. We don't have a domain name because of this unique characteristic of the Internet and the ability of people to be misdirected and confused as a result.
Where do I find that case, or am I going to make up that law? I mean, I'm just trying to find it. I got this in front of me. I've got to now make the decision. Where do I find what law to apply if I look at this?
I think if you look, for example, at the Picard case, okay. That was an example where the court did look at the factors.
I'm sorry, which case?
Picard, P-A-C-C-A-R, the Peterbilt, Kenworth case.
Yes.
Where the court did look at their version of the Sleekcraft factors, and then considered the nominative fair use, and considered them to be,
Our circuit doesn't have my case.
No, that's the Third Circuit.
That's the third.
Yeah. What do they know? The nominative fair use was born right here. What do they know about it? We can't really follow the circuit law when Judge Pregerson, writing in Cairns, tells us Sleekcraft doesn't apply. I mean, they may do it different in the third circuit, but in our circuit, Sleekcraft just doesn't apply.
The other point, I guess,
if you're not going to look at the case, can I have my book back?
Absolutely.
Are you going to look at the case? Do you want to look at it?
I did look at it, Your Honor. I obviously don't have time to study it in depth while I'm sitting up here. So
we usually expect counsel to study these things in depth before they walk into court.
And the other thought even if sleek craft were inappropriately applied here, I don't see there being any prejudice because the burdens are separate in terms of proving a likelihood of confusion versus proving a nominative fair use. So one way or the other, the defendants would have to show the elements of nominative fair use.
Really, the nominative fair use is an affirmative defense, isn't it?
Yes, and therefore they have
a
burden.
I guess I got to have a claim first that somebody proves.
Well, if you...
Yeah. I mean, I can't just say, well, you didn't prove your affirmative defense, so therefore the other side wins. I got to have a claim that wins. And that was my worry. I mean, and I wanted to talk to you about that because it seems to me that what you must prove or what you must do or what standard I must use in determining if the district court met the abuse standard, I mean, the best I can come up with is confusingly similar to a valid protectable trademark, but I don't find anything to get there.
Well, if you take cans at face value and say that you don't have to consider the sleek craft factors in order to in a nominative fair use case, I don't think that means that the burden shifts to the plaintiff to have to carry the burden on nominative fair use, if that's what you're going to.
That's not what.
And so I guess I'm so if you take sleek craft out of the picture, the defendants still have to show nominative fair use and have the burden of that, and those elements are are separate and different from the sleek craft factors, and so the fact that sleek craft determinations were made here.
Maybe it's best if we give the district court a tutorial and ask her to do it over, huh? Just tell her how it's done. Maybe she can get it right, huh?
I don't.
Don't you think that would be the wiser course?
No, Your Honor, I don't, because I think that the first of all, I think that as a matter of law, the nominative fair use doesn't apply here, and secondly, even
I'm
if
I'm sorry, how do you think it doesn't apply?
Because number one, it wasn't necessary to use the Lexus mark in as many of the different ways as the defendants did. Two, they used more of that mark than was necessary. And three, by the way they did it, they did create a confusion, a blurring of what the sponsorship was. Because
I'm sorry, when you say more than necessary, you mean they used all four letters?
No, they used it in ways. In other words, they used it in a way that created a confusion as to who they were dealing with. In other words, your examples that you gave me were being an example where someone used it in a way that was clearly intended, meant, and operated to disaffiliate someone from that, and then you can have maybe a nominative fair use. But here we don't have that. So as a matter of law, it's nominative fair use.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You've got 3 minutes and 21 seconds if you wish to use it.
I will speak quickly. I just wanted to state a couple things that had come up. Number one, with the disclaimer, he stated that once you get to the website, that's when you see the disclaimer. But to the contrary, let's assume someone goes on to the website and they type in www.buyerreleaselexus.com. They get to the website, there's the disclaimer. But if someone is simply just searching for Buyer Release Lexus, on the actual search engine, it too states Fast Imports. We are not affiliated in a copy of that, too.
Well, what happens if you go to a search engine and you type in Lexus?
It does not appear in the search engine. I testified, Your Honor, that I personally searched through dozens of pages and was never able to find it myself.
So what about those meta tags that you had?
The meta tags that we had entailed... In the very end, we added one that was Lexus Broker, but other than that, there wasn't any that had to do with strictly Lexus.
So Lexus was not one of the meta tags?
No, Lexus Broker was.
Okay, just answer my question.
No.
So there's testimony, you testified that if you put in Lexis into a search engine, just Lexis, if you want to, you know, Yahoo, Google, one of those,
right,
and you put in Lexis, your domain wouldn't show, or your website wouldn't show up.
Correct. What I testified was that if I looked on numerous pages, I was unable to find myself.
Was there contrary testimony from anybody?
No.
No.
And if I could just make
one. You represented yourself at trial, too?
Yes. I know, foolish. I apologize.
It's your right. I'm just asking a question.
Yes, we did.
These are very complicated things, and lawyers go to law school for a reason. But I'm not giving you advice. I'm just saying.
It would have been wonderful had we been able to afford counsel, absolutely. If I could just make one more brief little point. I know my time is going, but you had questioned whether or not the website was changed before. We actually changed the website once in April of 2002.
Okay. You're not a lawyer, so let me just quickly explain it to you. You can't tell me anything that you know in your head unless it was presented to the district court below. So if you know the answer to a question, you know, because you are, you know, this is this what you're about to tell me, something that was given to the district court, was presented to the district court?
Yeah, I testified to that, Your Honor.
Then go right ahead.
Okay, yes, I testified that we, prior to receiving the complaint, prior to it actually being filed, the website was changed. And again, that's why we relied on the Volkswagen case.
I see. And was Mr. Koepke there at trial when you testified like that?
No, Your Honor. It was a different attorney.
Is there a transcript of your testimony?
Yes, there is.
Probably Mr. Koepke overlooked it.
Okay.
And then go ahead.
I just wanted to touch base with very quickly that the district court in her findings of fact did state that a domain name often functions as an indication of origin, and that the court goes on stating that thus the mere use of Lexis in a domain name generally implies sponsorship or endorsement, and I think that's what we're here, Your Honors.
Let me ask you a slightly different question. And again, I'm only asking about things that happened in this case.
Okay.
So if you know the answer, but it's not in the case, I don't want you to tell me, okay?
I'll do my best to, yes.
That's one of the things lawyers do, that keeps these things compartmentalized.
Okay.
Is there any, as far as this record is concerned, any claim that what you are doing, not the website or the anything else, violates any law or in any way in any way unlawful insofar as the service you're providing causes dealers to violate their contract with Toyota or anything of that sort?
No, Your Honor.
Was there any claim like this in this lawsuit?
No, Your Honor.
I mean, I know it didn't come to trial, but there was nothing like that?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Case just argued will stand submitted.